weekdays. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
We really should have started this off with an Oasis tune. Should have had you singing a big Oasis tune for the weekend that's in it.
I'm sick of me shite at this thing, to be honest with you. I can't get behind it at all. It's not doing that. I suppose I was never a fan back in the day, so it's hard to see the second wave, the second sweep coming.
But
you know?
I'm kind of surprised, because you and I had a conversation once about how, you know, sort of stuff that was a little bit ahead of us, or we thought was ahead of us, that we weren't into it at the time. So say, for example, you mentioned The Cure.
Yes. Right. I did mention The Cure in the 80s.
You came late to The Cure, as in, at the time they were big, you weren't that
into
them.
Didn't like it, yeah.
Then, sort of retrospectively, you look back and you go, God, they were great tunes.
But I look back and say, it was fantastic. Yeah.
I was the same with The Jam. Didn't kind of appreciate The Jam at the time.
Me neither.
Then you listen to it and you think,
oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah.
I thought you might have had that sort of revelation with Oasis.
No, I think Oasis are a bit shite overall. Like, they had one incredible album, you know, and we play the hits of it here.
Yeah.
You know? So we hear them all the time. But they do seem like a right pair of pricks as well. And then you think to yourself, so you wonder what's the buzz about.
I hope this podcast gets to know. And by the way, Liam and Noel, if you do get to hear this, he's a Gallagher. He's probably related to you somewhere or another. Do you know that? And maybe, I'm not saying he's bitter that he didn't get any of the money. I'm just saying, right?
Yeah, there's probably some sort of thing going on. I was adopted, so there's no blood relation. Go and stick that up your blur hole. But I don't get, and they don't seem like, they're not nice people. The ticket thing and all that. And they're
that
just,
did leave a sour taste,
and
didn't it?
It's all like bad attitude. They're English Conor McGregors. They're just giving people, you know, so what? Shove it up your hole. Like, you know, it's just, there's all that kind of going on. Like, it's not, like, if Robert Smith doesn't do any of that business, Paul Weller definitely doesn't do any of that business, you know.
Yeah.
He's down and he's hanging around in Finsbury drinking flat whites and all that.
The Oasis brothers and Paul Weller and all, they're mates, aren't they?
I don't know. Paul Weller said he's not going to the gigs. He doesn't want to see them.
So he did not. Did he say that publicly?
Yeah, he did. He says there's a reason he doesn't like the big gig. I can't remember what the reason was, but he says he's not going to the gigs.
Stadium gigs, yeah, be too, like, whatever.
I don't know, but he says he's not interested in the gigs or whatever. So you see them getting swept away, and then you see the ludicrous chats. It's like it's as if it's an All-Ireland final, right? Someone here, working here yesterday, was going, I tell you now, my husband, she goes, was a real fan. And he never missed a gig. Like, even when they weren't together, he went to all their individual gigs and all. He travelled. He even seen someone in Derby and everything. And now he's saying there's influencers getting tickets. They weren't even alive, Jim.
Right.
They weren't even alive. And now
so
they've got
there should be a
tickets.
Loyalty bonus. Was that the idea?
They were saying there should be a test. Right?
Yeah.
Or there should be something that you shouldn't have been born before a certain year.
Show us the programme from the Reading gig in 1990.
Yeah, like the bouncer should be on the gate in Crow Park on, what's your date of birth?
Yeah.
And they'd be 1996. No, not you. Yeah. And then you come in 1972. And then what's your star sign? Copper Corner. It's the one with the mouse smoking a joint or something. Yeah, so I'm not getting swept away at it. I'm just worried now because I want to get, you know, I want to go to the barbecue festival. And I'm worried I'll get caught in traffic on the way back.
That's your biggest concern.
That's my biggest concern because the dart doesn't go there.
It looks as though Oasis is just going to be a constant thorn in your side.
I think it is a bit. I'm not getting caught up in this one at all.
Yeah.
But there's a few that I got caught. Taylor Swift now. I did get a bit of FOMO for that. Because there was, you know, because there was, everyone was shiting on about the biggest selling tour of all time in the history of everything, you know.
Yeah.
And that you know, that sort of, you know, what's that selfie song? That's not a bad old tune she has, whatever it's called.
See, I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, other than the Shake It Off thing.
That's what I'm saying, selfie, Shake It Off. That's what I don't know, what was that? That was the song.
Oh, yeah.
Shake It Off.
Big Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah. And the fella's going to shake, shake, shake. And the women and all.
You thought that was called selfie song.
I don't know what I was thinking, yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, that's the only one.
I didn't go because they keep a ticket from actual fans and all that, you know. I've got all that in me. I won't go to an All-Ireland unless Dublin are playing because I hate to think of a lonely culture. But...
I was going to say not the opposite of such, but you know, like I do hear
you're
about
getting
things.
FOMO now.
No, but I do hear about certain gigs or whatever, and they wouldn't be my necessarily. I wouldn't have said they were my cup of tea as such, right? Let's say a classic example would have been right. There was the Take That thing, right, when they did their sort of reunion thing, right?
Yeah,
and then Robbie Williams, right?
Yes,
now,
yeah.
I've no problem with whatever. They're not necessarily my bag as such.
No.
But you hear afterwards about what the spectacle what of the like. Actual live show was like.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, you kind of, like, I believe the Robbie Williams one. I mean, in fairness, to take that one or whatever, that's a while back, though, isn't it?
That was amazing. That's a couple of years ago. I saw that now. That was an incredible show.
Yeah.
I so thought musically, I was going to hate it.
Yeah, well, no, actually, musically, you probably would be into it. But you know what I mean?
Never what forget. I wouldn't call that the selfie song.
And the Robbie Williams or whatever, right, and stuff like that. You kind of, it's after the event you hear how people describe it.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, sure, maybe I should have
gone. That would have been a bit
maybe
of crack. Yeah, that would have been a bit of crack. Yeah.
Mind you, I did hear the way you described the Coldplay one to me, and I'm sort of glad I missed out on that. No, I'm joking. You had a terrible experience
with
that.
I did, yeah. No,
but
that,
I did see loads of people
that
say...
I was standing there with a fella with a broken leg and all, in the worst standing spot in the whole place. After I was ripped off by pretty much a gangster, you know, like mad stuff. Yeah,
mind you, for the rest of the crowd, all those people who, like, apparently that was something else, that Coldplay thing.
Yeah,
you know, and all the
it was deadly.
Touch-sensitive mats and weird glasses.
Yeah, they put so much effort into it. Yeah. And that's the point, actually, because you know them two flutes aren't going to do any of that. Them wankers and Oasis, they won't do that. They're
it's about the music.
They'll stick their hand behind the back and go, "Oh, no, you're lucky to be here. Who paid over 2,000 quid for a ticket? Yeah, you fucking jokes. Here's songs you hear every day on, you know, all the time. Yeah, and that's it. There's nothing to miss.
Our hope of getting a shout out from Radio Nova from the stage is probably gone.
Yeah. But that is the whole bag, isn't it? Yeah. Bet you're glad we got back together. You see us in real life. Yeah. Shove that up your, you know. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what they offer. It's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I know I don't get the Ed Sheeran thing. He's brilliant and all. Yeah, but apart from the fact that if you wait on any street corner long enough, he's going to come along and do a fucking gig for free.
Yeah.
But like,
it's or just have your own event.
Yeah.
That's the secret. If you want to see Ed Sheeran live, basically, just have your own event. Like, whatever your event is, you know, a wedding.
Have a wedding.
And
he'll drop in.
Absolutely.
He'll drop in.
He'll hear about it.
And then he'll start annoying
He's like Father Christmas in the music world. He kind of like, you know, he knows when you're naughty. He knows when you're nice. He knows if you've been sleeping. He knows where you're having your 50th birthday.
I'm telling you.
He knows if you're getting engaged.
You have to be careful now advertising your wedding in case he does show up. You know, turn up, ruin the wedding on everyone. I don't know what point it was going to make there. I forgot. This isn't getting me at all, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even like their fan. That's kind of a big part of it, isn't it? You have to feel like they want to be there.
You would have to say that for anybody who's been a long-term listener to us or whatever, you know, you've expressed quite an eclectic musical taste.
That's true.
It's quite a broad base. It's that sort of mile wide, inch deep thing, isn't it?
That's definitely it.
I mean, you know, like, if you're going to espouse the benefits of sort of like Baltimore, Tarzan
Boy. Well,
that's
it, yeah. And, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, well, straight away, you're not dealing with somebody who's kind of
proud. I was 50 years old when you told me that Ziggy Stardust and David Bowie were the same person. So, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a fair point, well made, you know.
So, you know, to be fair to you, you know what I mean? You don't get caught up in, overly caught up in trends, really, do you?
Not particularly, I don't think so.
Musical trends, I mean.
Not really,
well, I mean,
no.
We are one for a bandwagon, of course.
That's why I was
like,
gone.
For example, had we have received VIP tickets to the gigs with a box that had food and drink in it, I think you'd have come with me, wouldn't you?
But we're shy bags too, because we got that for other things and we never even left. We were given that. We for bands we really like, Squeeze and Madness.
Yeah.
And we were given that, free drinks and a dinner and all. And we were sitting there and all we had to do to see the band was stand up and walk 10 feet. And I'm 25 feet, right?
Yeah.
And we were on the balcony. So
open the door, basically.
Open the door. We had to stand up and open the door, right? To see Squeeze and Madness, right? And we were there and we were on the way in saying, this will be great, the whole lot. And they started, we says, sure, we can hear them in the car going home and all.
I sure am.
And we had another drink.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think we were even in the cars
going
right. home.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it.
Yeah, so
we'll continue to take it. But
you know what I mean? I'd be like that. I'd be like one of those people that goes, you know, when you go to Croke Park, you know, at a championship game, semi-final or something, people are going mad for tickets. And there's someone who takes a free. And then the American tourist goes, was that a good goal? Is that what happened? Would that be considered a play? You're like, that's what I'd be like at these gigs. You know, it's not for me. You know, I'm in actually in the way. Yeah. Now, God forbid, I do know what it's like to feel in the way.
Mind you, I suppose there's a, yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, there was that time, say, for example, in the football, right? There was a time we were given away the opportunity to be at in a box to watch the Republic of Ireland play.
There
you friendly.
Go. That was a while. Right. Yes. Yeah. This is a good example.
This is a good example of sometimes our attitude.
And we're big football fans, yeah, right? Both of us, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Very true. Football, you know what I mean? Watch it all the time.
Look, talk about it every day. I would say every single day we
somebody
talk about
says,
football.
Oh, you get the chance to be in a box, you know what I mean? It's a bit of comfort and everything to watch the game.
And we're like, wow,
gives me no sort of whatever, no struggling down the to kind of get to your seat like down the row or anything.
People
like
from
that.
The show and all
coming that
in.
Sort of stuff.
You get to see the game.
And we thought that's fantastic. And there's and like a bit of food and drink and stuff. And they went, there's no food and drink in the box. It's just. And we went,
we'll watch it at home. We'll watch it at home on the telly. You can get a few cans.
We'll leave it. Yeah, thanks, Austin.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Purists, us, aren't we? Purists.
Absolute purists. Oh, yeah, yeah. Live and die for us. I don't want to point. I might miss a kick in the game. But, you know, not us, no.
So that was the secret there. You were going on about, I wouldn't take a ticket because I might stop a real fan. But there's food and drink laid on for this. Oh, well, sure, I'll go anyway then, I suppose, if I have to.
Yeah, I'm sure there was loads of tickets going for that game. That game wasn't even half sold out, I wouldn't have said.
Do you have an ultimate sort of music thing? I don't think I have one.
And I've gone to a few big gigs lately, and honestly, I didn't enjoy them at all, right? I didn't enjoy them at all. And I do remember going to the last one with Kelly, and I was like, this is shite now, right? There's no cracking this anymore, because people aren't going to watch the music. They go to watch whatever two or three songs they know. Then the rest are just talking.
Or videoing or
selfieing. And when the songs they want to hear come on, they just video them. Nobody's paying it. It's kind of crap. Like, you know, I used to love going to gigs when you had to buy a round for the band. You know, go on. And you put them on the stage.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, cheers. Thanks, lads. You know, thanks, Jim. Fair play to you, Jim. Yeah. You know,
you hard push down that in Crow Park.
Or you go, yeah, do one for Jim. It's his birthday. They're the gigs I like.
Well,
they're the gigs I like holding, you know. I suppose.
I assume not internationally renowned superstars you're talking about.
Well, there you go. You said, what's my dream gig, right? Yeah. Here it is. Michael Bolton in Slattery's, right? Michael Bolton, and he's on
the
stage.
Bag it in, maybe.
The bag it. Bring back the bag it in. There you go, right? Small set. There's 50 of us there. Oh, well, it can fit 50, but there's only 30 in, so we can all get a pint when we want, right?
That's it. No queues for the jacks.
Around, it's your birthday. Actually, so there's only 10 people there because you wouldn't invite anyone, right? So it's you and me. We're having a few quiet ones. Michael Bolton's
up on stage. Who's on tonight? And someone I call Michael Bolton. Grand,
yeah. And Jim is there going, dude, how can we be lovers? And I'm like, I'll do it with him. And then we're, na 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 na.
So
that's my dream gig.
In fairness, this is actually going in a direction.
Johnny Logan, maybe.
We were saying the earlier on, we were talking on the show about football and the disconnect that fans feel from like the big clubs, you know, the Premiership clubs. And PJ, obviously being a Bow supporter, was talking about that's been a huge surge in the League of Ireland as people feel, you know, much more connected to the point where. Not only do you kind of see the people walking down your street and all, or one of them
riding their bikes,
one of the players might actually show up to fix your toilet or something because his job is as a plumber.
That's happened to me.
A fella
came up and he was there the skip and he goes, I was playing my balls when you were in there a couple of years back and all. He was taking the skip out of my garden.
There you see.
Yeah.
And as we were saying, you could literally share a packet of custard creams with the star striker
at half time. Half time, they're going, listen, that was close.
Lads shouting on, Jerry, do you want a smoke? Yeah. I'll have one at half time. I'm still playing.
Right, I light it up now. I meet you down the corner flag. You know, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
So you'd like the musical equivalent
of that? The musical equivalent of that, definitely, right. 100%. Because all the small venues are dying off and all of that. That's all sort of becoming a thing
of
the past.
True.
And it's not like it used to be, even if you find one of the small ones now. It's not like you go in and it's like that. It's the lads playing the music and going, do one for Jim. Mm. And they go, yeah, here's this one. And and you stick points in the stage. It's not like that anymore. You go in and it's some wanker there. This is a song I wrote about the hardship of my life. You know, it's like, and you're like, oh, Jay. And they're like, you know, going, we're going to do this one. And, I know it's tough times, but we got to stick together. Music is the glue of life. And you're like, oh, fucking hell. Is that music? Is the glue? And he's like, yeah, music is the glue of life. You know, I don't let it be a troubling strat. And you're like, I can't. I have to. I can't.
The other thing is, I know it's a reflection on us, right? I know this is not a reflection on the wider world. It's a reflection very much on us, okay? But I still find it mad hard, right? Because you hear sometimes ads for things, or you see posters for things.
Yes, yeah.
And they're big enough venues, you know, Vicar Street. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't, bigger Olympia.
What's the Olympia?
I don't, bigger again even than that, whatever. Or, yeah, yeah. Like, there's even been times, there's been stuff on in the Three Arena, right? And it's like, oh, I'm playing Three Arena, whatever. And you're like, who the fuck is that?
Who's that?
I've never, ever heard of them before.
Four nights in Phoenix Park. Never heard of them.
Exactly.
Never
that
heard
was,
of them.
That was the that very
was an
one
actual
I was
one.
Of. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even think of their name now. Can't even think of their name now.
Packed out Phoenix Park. And it was like a country music thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like I haven't a clue.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Or then, like you're saying, in the Three Arena, it's like there's huge in the Three Arena tonight. And sometimes we're asked to promote them. You know, we're like, tickets available now. Get your tickets straight away. They're going to sell really fast. Three nights of Jazzy Detail, number BC, Jazzy BC. You're like, who's Jazzy BC? I haven't a clue.
That's what's weird. Where that's a real sign. I know everybody it's all through online and socials and everything that people become stars now. It's not the traditional thing with radio and television or whatever anymore. But it is mad when somebody can, like, huge arenas and you haven't ever heard of them.
I was on a job yesterday, right? And this woman comes up to me. I'm not joking, right? And she says, you know, I can't remember, Jamie something. I honestly can't remember the second name, right?
Right.
And I said, no. And she goes, you do know him. She goes, I used to go out with him. I was like, okay, right. Well, I don't know him. Who is it? She goes, he's your man, Jamie. He's got 3.3 million followers on TikTok. I was like, right. He's a singer. And she goes, no, he gets dressed.
What?
And I was there, he what?
What?
And she goes, no, he gets dressed. I'm not even, dishonest to God. And I went, he puts on his trousers. She starts laughing at me. And then she goes, no, he gets, like, he that's his thing. He gets dressed, you know. I'm like, going, you've said it three times. I get dressed every day.
I'm with you.
Honestly, bar a very, very bad injury.
Does he get dressed in something in particular? So
that's every day. He shows his clothes that he's going to wear and puts them on and tells you, look at these strides. Look at this T-shirt. He never calls a watch a watch. It's a timepiece. He goes, this is the timepiece of the day. And then he does his whatever. And he gets dressed. 3.3 million followers. I was like, he gets dressed. Yeah. Like, does he even pick out his own clothes? She said, no. I said, so what does he do?
Exactly.
And she said, she goes, he's Jason or whatever his name was. I can't think of the name.
If I got undressed, I wouldn't get that many followers.
Yeah. If I ran down O'Connell Street in the nip. Yeah, you know, screaming, Jim McCabe did this. We wouldn't get anywhere near it.
It is the mental thing.
And then I'll tell you, we're just days away before me and Jim are here going, so if you'd like to see Jason get dressed for four nights at the Olympia, he's not going to say a word. So it's okay to get your phones out. Yeah, he's doing a tour. He's putting on a tracksuit in Birmingham tonight.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
It's very rare you come across people who don't like some form of music.
Oh yeah, it's impossible.
And it turns out that it's not even species specific. It's not just us humans who enjoy a tune.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, but I also think you might be wrong in some aspects. They're now, believe it or not, they have now started, jazz musicians have now started playing jazz to cows. It says that it's to stop, it relaxes them, apparently. So when they go and it's time for milking, a jazz musician comes out. It's a TikTok trend and everything at the moment. And he plays some jazz and the cows go, here's... whatever, here's Cool Hand Eddie or whatever the jazz people call themselves.
Okay.
And then it drowns out also the hum of the milking machine, and that the cows relax, and that means the milk actually comes out faster. They spend less time in the machine. Farmer gets his milk faster. Everybody's happy.
It's like white noise for cows. It blocks out the sounds of that might make them upset or whatever, and they just chill into giving their milk.
That's what they say.
The jazzy sounds of Cool Hand Eddie.
That's what they say. But let's be honest, Everybody hates jazz. And now jazz music...
Only Johnny. Johnny was the only one who hated jazz.
Johnny was right to hate jazz. And jazz is just sounds like... You know the way we were doing the Beatles song? It goes whoop-bang, ping, in the middle of the... That's jazz. Jazz is just a bunch of irrelevant sounds happening in the cacophony at the same time.
Wow. And well, obviously Pat Courtney enjoys a bit of jazz then.
He is jazz.
He uses jazz quite a lot.
I tell you something, man. Leave the animals alone, will you? Leave the animals alone. Jazz is farting into an instrument, you know. And like, this feels like, you remember during COVID?
Right.
And you were all locked in your houses and stuff, right? And someone who can't get an audience to go to their gig, somebody would...
Went onto their balcony.
And says, I know we're all feeling a little down, so I'm going to spend 2 hours playing my violin. And they start doing PAA Zoo. And you're like, mother of God, as if this wasn't hard enough. Shut up!
Yeah.
And now they've found an audience that can't tell them to shut up. So they're just playing to cows.
Do they explain, just out of curiosity, why they chose jazz for cows? Why they associated jazz as being the way to most relax the cows, as opposed to, I don't know, classical music or rock music or folk music?
I'm telling you, they have people want to go to those gigs. The only musicians that are free, that have nothing else to do, are jazz musicians. The only cow-bothering musicians out there would be jazz musicians.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Cow-bothering.
Cow-bothering.
So that's a new term for jazz musicians, cow-botherers.
Cow-bothering bandits of the farm. Yeah.
Well, look, hang on a second. I tell you, you could be onto something here because we've just literally hot off the presses. We've had a WhatsApp in from Peter to say, my cows love Nova. They listen to Radio Nova.
Well, of course they do. All the classics are on
Mind
here.
Mind you, if they're listening to this show, specifically one member of this show, I'd be careful there. You might have a touch of mad cow going on.
Oh, the cow.
Fairly shortly, if they're tuned into this, that's all I'd say to you.
I'm just
be careful,
saying,
Peter.
Jazz is one of those things like oysters where nobody really likes them. They just pretend they like them because it makes them sound cool.
Yeah. Although Phil says it's not jazz specific, that cows just love all music.
Oh, dear.
That is so, so bad. It is brilliant.
So bad it's brilliant, yeah. It's kind of cheered us up a bit, yeah.
So you just believe jazz was being enforced on them.
It is there being forced on them.
They didn't do any sort of experiments. They didn't try, okay, how much milk if we play, you know, whatever, rock music, or how much if we play country music, or how much if... I mean, actually, country music. You'd imagine cows would be into the old country
they
music.
They would. Love them. Bring down a Frank Carter, or whatever their names are.
Frank Carter?
What's his name? The wagon wheel. What's his name? Hank Carter, is it?
Jake Carter.
Bring down Jake Carter.
Frank Carter. He sounds like some lad who was a London gangster or something. All right, Frank. Frank Carter.
Well, there you go. Bring them down. Have them sit down. Gareth Brooks sort of music. Play that to the cows. There'll be milk coming. It'll be like milkshake. It'll be literally
Gareth
milk
Brooks.
Shake coming out of the cows.
Did you pick up on that? Gareth Brooks. That's who he wants to get.
Oh, my God. I can't get any names right. I'm going back to Cool Hand Eddie now.
He's very good.
Whereas jazz musicians, they're turning up. It's the farmyard version of a guy turning up for a party with a guitar and forcing people to listen to his music when everybody was happy already.
Natalie was on to say that it's true, lads. I played jazz to the cows and they all gathered around the phone. Now, she does admit, is that because they hate it or because they love it? But they did gather around the phone. Maybe they were trying to attack her to tell her to turn it off. Who knows?
That was just, she had a phone video and one of the cows went, what in the name of Jesus is that? And they all were like, oh, what's he doing? Is he trying to break that instrument? Why is he nibbling on the end of it?
Wow. Oh, by the way, apparently I said Jake. Somebody says, no, it's Nathan. Jake's the brother, is he? Or...
Well, obviously I thought it was Hank, so I haven't a clue. There's no point in asking me.
Cabra Paul wants you to know that cows do prefer udder music as well.
Oh, this
to,
is...
sorry.
Yeah, but and that's... Anyway, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying you wouldn't find a lot of musicians willing to just turn up and play random gigs in cow sheds.
I have to confess, that is the weirdest part of that whole story. I thought it was people just playing it out through speakers.
No.
I didn't realise that a lad rocked up.
There's a fella with a jazz flute standing in the field in the photograph.
And do they introduce the band and all?
Yeah, you'd be there going, yeah, hey everybody, get groovy. This is Slippy Jim and Cool Hand Eddie. And we're going to give you about 6 hours of entertainment, which is three songs. I hope you enjoy the music. It gets a bit random in places, but hey, you let your art explore. Wah, brr, 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 brr. That's jazz, baby.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
There's not many things that are sort of regular features on this show, really.
No.
We do the movies with Clint, and we do our Friday feature, okay? Which was, well, the original concept was we would take anything, basically, and somehow fry it.
And so, yeah.
Deep fry, we started off with, then we kind of set off smoke alarms. That was wiped out. Shallow fry. Now, of course, the beauty of the fantastic air fryer.
The air fryer is the world's most incredible invention, I have to say, yeah.
And so the idea is PJ often scans around for interesting kind of twists on recipes and things that you wouldn't think you could necessarily fry or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. And anyway, the Friday feature is a big part of what we do on the show. And, you know, disaster is often a word that gets associated with that particular feature.
And guess what? It's not my fault. It turns out I'm just the only honest celebrity chef. Oh, God, that's not definitely neither a celebrity nor a chef. But in for the case of this story, that there is. Yeah, so and that's a fact. That's a fact. We're the only ones who do it straight up honest.
Absolutely, because we
straight up
you
honest.
You know, when we film it, it's live. It's as it happens.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You get to see whether it's success or failure. You see it revealed in real time before your very eyes.
And ladies
the
and gentlemen,
chancers.
Everything else you see on TV or here on the radio is a lie. It's all been revealed. It's all been revealed what they do. Simple things, simple little cheats like when they do a pizza even. They screw down the main pizza onto the board that it's on. So when they lift one piece, the rest of it doesn't come up and they get that super cheesy, oozy goo.
Mm.
You know, that's one cheat that they do. Something we'd be appalled to do. When you see even cereal, the cheats can't even pour cereal. I tell you, they are scumbags. When they pour cereal.
It's harsh, but still.
Dirty. it's not milk you're even looking at. It's white glue. And then it stops the it stops the cereal floating to the top and making it look all watery and sort of pathetic looking. It keeps the full bodiedness in it. So they use glue instead of milk. Yeah, yeah.
Well, these are happening on cooking shows and cooking ads across the.
Everything
we thought we knew was a lie.
I tell you. And even, you know, when you see bread sitting on the thing there, or on the thing, on the counter or whatever it is. What they do with the bread is they dip it in wax. So it doesn't deflate. They have inflated bread. Inflated bread, Jim.
Wow.
Tomato slices are filled with gelatin, so the middle parts with the seeds don't leak liquid, so it always looks perfect.
We've never really had to use tomato because neither of us likes it.
Well, because no normal person likes tomato. Tomato's just a disgusting hot water element in food. It just makes things wet. It doesn't make things taste
nice.
So
we could have been faking all of this. We could have done the here's one we prepared earlier. We could have done all of that sort of stuff. We could have been using who knows what for our various recipes. Pretend food.
And don't even get me started on the waste. Someone was saying their brother-in-law worked for a major cooking channel and all the food is thrown away. Every dish can be made several times. So you know the way they make a dish and you go, oh, wow. They have to get it right.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They do it loads of times. And then they show the judges. The one that you see the judges eating is totally different to the one you see on TV.
Oh, hang a second. So this is
different to the one you see on TV. Huh?
Oh, this is about stuff like MasterChef as well.
MasterChef. So
it's not just people kind of doing actual cooking shows where I'm going to show you how to make a fantastic flan.
No, it's that as well, but it's all a lie. MasterChef, you know, they present the meal at the end and you see that shot. That's not the one they cooked, and that's not the one that they tasted. That's another one done at another time and made to look perfect with interference. They paint the chickens and all, put wood glue and all on it. All of that sort of
thing. To give it that golden brown. Yeah.
To give it the golden brown.
I mean, I'd heard some of this stuff for, you know, when they do the Christmas adverts. You know, you see those glossy kind of things of a fantastic Christmas table bedecked with all of the indulgences of Christmas and I heard a lot of kind of fake stuff with that. But actual shows, like, it's all a big scam.
All of that. All
unbelievable.
It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Yeah.
Wow. So you could have been, you know, hyping yourself up there. To be fair, the food wastage thing, though. I mean, I do remember that time that you attempted to make a crepe, I think it was, out and about at a festival. It was meant to be the ultimate festival food. You made various attempts at scrambled egg.
Yeah.
And it was flung to the side.
Now, hold on a minute. That was two very rare incidences. So these people make food and it's completely eatable, totally grand. They have one bite and then they throw the rest in the bin.
Yes.
I will point you to the time I spilt an entire pan full of sausages on the ground and we just rubbed off all the hair and ate them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, so, I suppose the one admission we would make is sometimes, okay, like we do taste what we make.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly do. And then, you know, sometimes we may not eat at all and we may use the ingredients to make something normal.
That happens.
Like a sandwich.
That happens sometimes. And I will say this.
That's our only admission on this.
Well, here's another one, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know the way you get these chef people that they travel around, they do these daily shows like you're saying, and they turn up and they make a meal and everyone has one bite and then the rest of it goes in the bin. We are, and I tell you, this is an absolute fact, we are the only show where when they're coming we say, now make sure you bring loads and all because Jim wants a plate, I'll have one.
That's true.
We go, no, I'll have one.
That's true.
Yeah. Like they've been here sometimes for an hour, still cooking after the show.
Yeah.
Or else we say, can you leave the ingredients behind you and we have a go at it ourselves? Like we're scabbing food off them.
That is actually true. Yeah.
And that is true, yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah, you see on the TV stuff and the TV chefs do their stuff and somebody has a bite and goes, oh my God, that's delicious, lovely. That's the last bite they have. Not us.
We better put more of them on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. How many of them did you bring?
Yeah, and then we've done that, eating every morsel of food they've had, and when they've left, like we've said, what do you think of that? We're going, it wasn't great.
Don't be telling that. Don't put that out there.
Yeah, a couple
of them. We've never said that
we have.
Any chef in here has ever done anything that wasn't great.
A couple of them were brutal. Most of them are great.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Somebody who's just joining in at the moment, welcome along, obviously. But if you're just joining in because you're just getting up, you're just about to start your day, you're not somebody who's been on the road now for a couple of hours already, whatever, this is literally the start of your day. Listen up. Uncle PJ is going to tell you exactly what you should be doing so that you start your day properly.
Yes.
And don't make a mess of it.
Well, we all know I've become something of a guru.
Oh, I tell you.
On this
has
show.
Has he ever?
Yeah, something of a guru. And I tell you now that as a wellness guru, in the wellness and the peak time for mental wellness and mental well-being is the morning. And the moment you open your eyes, that is the peak time to prepare yourself.
Right.
As you set into the day. And as a guru, I'm going to read to you the new points that have been given and how you should operate yourself every single morning.
Okay, so don't do anything else until you've done this, people.
So wake up, don't hit snooze button straight out of bed. That is number one. Never hit the snooze button.
Okay.
Bounce out of that bed and get going. That's an easy one to do. Number two, do a crossword. Before you do anything else, do a crossword. It's yes. Get that brain functioning.
Wow.
You know,
I do love a crossword. I won't deny it.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I do enjoy doing a good crossword, but first thing in the morning.
Yes, yes.
At 4:30.
And then after that, do some mild mindfulness activities. Something that's good for the head. I would try going back to sleep for another while. Is probably not a bad idea. And then you have
So after you've done your crossword, you have a bit of meditation.
Yeah, now that sounds like a big deal, but you could make it as simple as, you know, just like, you know, taking a moment in the shower to feel your feet on the ground. Taking a deep breath, exhaling, and then going.
Would your crossword not be soggy? Oh, you've done that before you get into the shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then when you're in the shower, you go, oh, Mother Jesus. I believe.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Was that a prayer there you were saying?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Mother Jesus. What's going on? Holy.
Right, so
holy.
Some mild mindfulness
activities, yeah.
Okay.
Then you take a laughter break. Very easy to do. I always take a laughter break every morning. I wake up at 5:30, I have a laughter break every morning. How do I do that? Well, I imagine I wake up, I go, it's 5:30, and I think Jim's already been up for 2 hours, and it makes me laugh. And I feel so good about the day.
Despite the fact that... So you're supposed to, whatever time it is, and despite the fact that you may be on your own, you just have to find a way of laughing, do you?
Yes, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a hearty laugh. You know, I just think of someone and laugh at their expense. I think that's basically what the guru...
Laughter break.
Yes, yeah, have a laughter break. Then have a high protein rich breakfast, yeah. It can be anything at all. Have a sausage. Have a cold sausage by the side of your bed and just eat that. After your laughter break, integrate arts and culture and heritage.
Don't forget your high protein, right? So you've done your laughter break. You've moved past your high protein breakfast. Now you're on to what?
You're integrating arts, culture or heritage into your morning ritual. Well, that's very easy to do. If you want arts and culture, you just listen to this show. It's as simple as that.
That's true.
You know, that's as simple as that. You know, heritage, arts, you know, there you go.
We are quite highbrow. Like, we often talk about art and culture and stuff, don't we?
We do. Just this morning, we spoke about men who can't let go of darts and a lad with a golf club who wasn't able to bring it down after he brought it up. So there you go. Just listen to this show. Very simple. After that, have a quick morning dance. A good way... have a morning dance.
Okay.
So whatever we put, we just can't get enough there. We had
so lad, we work with Achi. He's always doing this, isn't he?
He is always doing
this. Always doing it. Every so often, he'll give a little bit of a dance vibe going
now,
on.
It did take me a while. It took me about 6 months to work out if he was dancing or if he just had an itchy bum.
He does. Or if he was having a small seizure. But
he is dancing.
He's obviously in, that's part of his wellness thing. He has a little dance vibe.
Yeah, because it only comes after a small win. You know what I mean? Look at that. Woo! Photocopier worked. Grooving. Go make some shapes. Make some shapes. That is a good thing to do. That's so good for your brain.
So
it's
that's
a good
it. So it's a
do.
Wellness thing.
It's a wellness thing.
I tell you something.
He's miles ahead of
this
us.
This has all happened in the morning, has it? So we haven't even left the house yet.
We haven't even got our trousers on yet.
Oh my God, we're not even dressed.
We're not even dressed
yet.
Okay. And then before you get dressed, go into the mirror, look at yourself and have a smile. Have a big smile.
That could actually be your laughter break. If you do it before you get dressed and you look at yourself in the mirror. That could be your opportunity to have a laughter break.
That's true, yeah. Or if you're Jim and me, we look at ourselves in the morning and then we go, take a big smile and go, how is this actually my life? What did I do to make this the reality of my life?
I have to say, there's a lot of work involved in your wellness morning routine.
Yeah, but you're apparently...
There's a lot going on there now. And does it say how long you fit that all in? It's like... That sounds like a solid hour's work.
It does seem like a solid hour's work, yeah. So even now, Jim will have to just get up 1 hour earlier. Jim will have to get up at midnight to fit all this in. You know, imagine Jim waking up at midnight and there he is in the nude trying to fit it all in at once, doing the crossword, having a dance.
And laughing all the time.
And laughing
maniacally.
Yeah, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm trying to make myself feel relaxed.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
On this show many, many times, we do talk about those occasions where your body kind of lets you down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had various unusual happenings on this show. I mean, the most unusual, obviously, is PJ punching himself in the face while tying a shoelace.
The lace broke now. Yeah. It wasn't an act of violence against myself. I was pulling the laces tight and one of them broke and I hit myself in the nose and had to go to hospital.
And we've had, you know, there's been instances where you might consider it clumsy or whatever. There was that time you fell off your chair and everything and, you know, you hurt your hand, didn't you?
That's happened three times.
He was just sitting down, by the way.
That's happened three times. I only got hurt once.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there has been instances where, you know, and we never profess to be kind of, you know, particularly, what would you call us? Dexterous.
No, we're not, no.
In any great capacity.
I mean, well, you're grand. You can walk around the place. I'm an awful clumsy oaf of a thing.
You do end up, you have hurt yourself a lot. Okay. And so that's why this story in particular. Well, I mean, I'm assuming it's the only similarity you have to this particular story.
It is, it is, and I'll tell you why. Because the man with the biggest willy in the world has been injured, right? He's been injured.
Yeah.
He's officially got the biggest medically proven willy in the world, and he says it's an awful thing to have. His name is Matt Barr and he's after taken to the headlines. He's been measured in at 14 and a half inches and he says, now the problem with it is sometimes you can't see your feet. And when he was in the shower there the other day, the poor man, he was trying to walk around it and he leaned over to see what was going on. And
With his feet.
He leaned over to see what was going on with his feet, and one of his feet gave way because he had to lean so far forward. He fell out of the bath altogether, completely out of the tub. After breaking his shoulder, two fractures of the shoulder.
So his body was working against him.
He says the excess shower gel he needs to use had run down his leg. And it had made the tub very slippy.
Wow.
Yeah. And he says the only thing in his eye line then was a part of his body that most of us probably wouldn't have to worry about. And he slipped then and out of the tub and cracked his shoulder on the hard floor and got two fractures. He says it was very embarrassing. And he says the problem then is it's very embarrassing because the ambulance men came in, you know, and he's there lying. He's in the nip on the ground. And the ambulance man comes in and says, "What's the problem?" And they're like, "Whoa, what happened?" And he's like, "That's not, that's always like that. The problem's my shoulder. That's all."
Yeah.
And they were like, "Whoa, we've never seen anything go, what?" And he's, "No, that's not the problem."
Mind you,
and he says, very embarrassing, you know.
It does take a little bit of, it does sound a little bit like, you know, those people who always find an opportunity to put into a story something that they just want to boast about.
A humble brag. Yeah,
right?
It does sound,
you know,
like a
that
humble
sort
brag.
Of thing.
Yes.
Like, it's like you always say about, what's it, the Cork mother, you know.
Help, my son, the doctor is drowning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it does sound a little bit like you go to the, you like, you could go to the hospital and go, yeah, I'm out there, I slipped in the shower and I broke my shoulder or I hurt
my
shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
You don't necessarily have to say, well, I was in the shower and my enormous willy was in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it.
And
yeah.
I slipped.
So when the ambulance man gets there or the doctor says, what happened? He goes, well, I am medically proven to have the biggest willy in the world. And I was in the middle of washing myself.
With excess shower
with
gel.
Excess shower gel.
Did I mention, I do have to have...
Because I have to use the amount of shower gel that three men would need to
absolutely.
Use normally.
It's like having an extra leg to wash.
Yeah, honestly now, I don't want to go on about it, but it's absolutely huge now.
It does and sound a bit like that.
It does sound a bit like that.
You could, you know...
Like, who contacted the papers?
Man fell over in shower. Right.
Is the story.
It's not a headline-grabbing story.
No, but that is the story. Yeah.
It is the story. That is the essence of it. A lad slipped in the shower.
Yes.
And he hurt his shoulder. That normally wouldn't make headlines, right?
Yeah.
But put in the fact, the man with the biggest willy in the world slipped over, claiming that his willy got in the way.
Yeah.
Now you have a story.
Yeah, it's a different story. They always boast about the front, but never the back, isn't it? Like, they'd never, if this was the fellow with the longest bum crack in the world,
yeah,
it wouldn't have the same
or the biggest
effect.
Arse. If he had the biggest arse in the world, like, you know, ginormous arse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if nobody's going to turn around, you know.
Fellow with the largest butt cheeks in Ireland. Fell out of the bath.
There's no humble brag there.
No humble brag there. No, you know. So it does feel. And who contacted the papers? Was it him?
Well, exactly.
Did he go up and say hello? They were like, "Hello, hello, England's Inquirer. What's the message?" He goes, "My name is Matt Barr. You might have heard of me before. A man with the longest willy in the world, and I've just hurt myself very badly by falling out of the shower. Just thought you should know before the hospital contact you."
Yeah,
you know. And they were like, "Unbelievable story. Let's get it done." Yeah,
yeah.
And then he's like, "Yeah, just 14.5 inches, just in case they ask." That we didn't ask, just in case they do.
Because you could interject that piece of information into just any sort of story about him. You know, like a man with the biggest willy in the world goes and has a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I mean?
Man with the biggest
why
willy.
Why is that relevant?
Yeah.
I just thought you might need to know.
Man with biggest willy in the world wins Britain's biggest Bake Off.
Exactly. Like,
you can literally say it about anything. Yeah.
So I reckon, I don't know, I reckon there was a bit of a humble brag going in there.
He literally
decided to, you know, I'll get a bit of publicity out of this.
Yeah, I know you're right.
Or either that, or he felt like a complete idiot and decided the only way I can redeem this situation is to make sure that they focus not on me being, you know, slipping over and falling in the shower, but focus on that.
I suppose that could happen. You might do that. If you guys had running water up and around with now and you fell out of the bath, the story might be man with the funniest back in the hills has damaged his elbow.
Yes. Because I have to use excess shower gel as well.
He does.
You know?
Oh my God, sure. It does be running all the way down to, what's the name? Knocking McCanna's or whatever the name of the other town is.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.